you know, as they were dancing, I want you guys to, you know, you might not have heard this song before, but the part in it that I want you guys to focus on is, Lord, remind us. Amen. Okay? When we come, send a reminder, when we come into the house of the Lord, I love, it's really a time of rest. It's a time of rest from all of our labors, all of our concerns, everything that we went through this week, the ups and the downs, the struggles. And God said, I'm going to send you a reminder. When we get together, he's reminding us, because sometimes during that week, we forget that God is in control, and we start carrying a lot of things that we shouldn't carry. And so God, that's why God says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, okay? But he wanted you to have a seventh day rest, because he knew us as people, we would just keep on working, keep on working, keep on working, keep on toiling, keep on until we lose our mind. But God wanted us to get to a mindset. He said, I want to remind you that I am God, and that you are not alone. And as we've been saying all week, I got your back. And he wants to remind us of that this morning, that he has our back. And no matter what has happened this week, no matter what burden that you've carried in here, he says, come unto me, all that are labor and weary, and what? I will give you rest. And what God is calling us for this morning is to give some rest, okay? So we rest this morning. We rest in his presence and his very word. If we would just allow it to rest within us, it would bring us rest. And so that song was, he wants to send us a reminder. There's a lot of tired people nowadays. Come on. Tired people, weary people. And although we just, you know, sometimes we just make it to the house of the Lord and we're so tired and we're so weary, but God wants you to know, come. I don't want you leaving the same way that you came. Says, I will give you rest. And so this morning, as we bow our heads before the Lord, we just thank you, God. We thank you for your rest, God. Your rest that rises above all our toil and our striving, all our busyness, God, all our concerns, God, all of our worries, God. It rises above it. And God, it lifts us up above it, God. And so today, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for the rest that you give us. Father, this morning in particular, we're praying for our fathers and the men of the house, God, that a lot of times, God, they're carrying things that they never speak. Carrying concerns and weight, God, that they try so hard not to show. But Father, we are so glad that you are the God that sees and the God that knows. And God, that you come this morning to encourage, to lift up, to edify, to strengthen, to refresh, to revive, to energize, to deliver, to bring out, oh God, to take over, to take through whatever is needed in their lives today. God, we know and we have faith, God, that you will do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. You know, if somebody could get me where's Sam? Is Sam here? Okay, Sam. So Sam, I want you to do something. I didn't tell Sam about this. And I know, I wish I had to, but so we're going to see how it comes out since we didn't, you know, negotiate on this one. But anyway, Sam, what I want you to do while I'm preaching, I just need you to walk. And I want you to hold this out like this. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, we didn't do this good. So some of you smart people, I don't want you to answer. Okay? Okay. Okay. Via Linda today. Okay. Here we go. Linda would be like, what? Okay. So I want you to hold it out like that. Okay? And I'm asking, okay, I want you to pretend that you don't know how many ounces is in this bottle, because this would really be, if I did it right, I would have had a glass, and a big glass, and you wouldn't have known. So, but y'all that drink water like Jessica, she already knows how many's in here, most of y'all. But let's not act like we know it. There's something more important about it. But my question would have been, and I just want, Sam, I just want you to keep walking while I'm preaching, not until I tell you to stop, okay? And you need to keep your hand out. Do not put that hand down, okay? Keep it out. Sam.
Yes.
Okay. Nothing funny today. No additive to my sermon. Okay. So keep it out. And I'm asking you in advance, how much do you think this bottle weighs? Okay? Okay. I'm asking you in advance, but I want Sam to just walk around until I tell him to stop. Sam is going to be a little while, so you get your cardio in today. Okay. Okay. Here we go. Start walking, Sam. And you guys, I've already told you, Sam can be kind of funny, but don't get it mixed up on the word this morning. Sam is already doing what Sam's supposed to do. Everybody, y'all already see what Sam's supposed to do, so don't get caught up into what Sam is doing. He's already doing it. What's Sam doing? Sam is walking with water, and he's holding the water out, because you know we'll keep on going like that. No, Sam is walking with water, and he's holding it out until I tell him to stop. Okay, don't worry about it. He can handle it. Okay, all right. This morning, first of all, I want to just really say Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers, and as some might have seen in our group, me and our leadership, one of the things I am so thankful for fathers that love Christ, because right there, nothing else that you can give us as the family, to your children's and to your home, is better than a love of Christ. Okay, a love of Christ. And I don't mean just, I didn't say I'm so happy you're in church, because everybody in church, okay, but a love of Christ, okay, honoring of Christ, to follow after Christ, and that you are striving to keep his word, okay? And so I just thank God, and we as the women and young people, we give you a hand clap this morning for being those men that are in the house of the Lord, that are striving to live for Christ, and just realizing that sometimes we forget as women and children how hard that striving is. You know, Pastor Paul, I wish he was here this morning, but they're out of town. But one of the things he just kept teasing about is how on Father's Day, there's just so little for fathers. There's just so little mention of fathers. There's just, you know, on Mother's Day, you know, there's a lot of mention, there's gifts out, there's all these things. But on Father's Day, there's a lot of devaluing of fathers. And one of the things is, I was looking at the statistics, I can't hardly say that word, but of how many things this man was saying, that how many percent of the people in prison are in prison that don't have fathers in their home. How many people it's so high. Each one is so high. How many have committed murders and things like, don't have fathers in there. But it kept showing what not having a father in the home. And so, and not to say anything against, there has been amazing moms, that single moms that have raised amazing children. But we got to remember, because, you know, we're not taking away from that. But one thing, the order of the word of God, the God order, was that there would be fathers in the home. The God order, that there would be fathers that would be leading and guiding and directing and walking. That's the God order. And so in America, a lot of times they said you can go into classrooms and that the kids that have fathers are of the lowest percent than the kids that don't have fathers. So we see there's a God order that's not in order in the world today. And so one of the things that we want to thank God for is every man that is here today, that you are doing, because we know the enemy has gotten us out of order, and he wants you out of order too. And so we understand that there is a fight against every man that is trying to stand for God and live for God and walk out the word of God, because if you stop, there's another man out of order. And we need the men to be in order according, so that we can have the God order that God has concerning his word. And so this last week, the women, we tried our best to honor our men. And so we had a little dinner, but the dinner was not, to me, was not the emphasis. The emphasis for me was the word that God had me to bring to you, that God has your back. That video, as I'm thinking about what you guys are going to eat, God said, this is the food. This is the real food, is that God has your back. And he wanted you to know that he has your back, because sometimes it may seem like the whole world is against you. And sometimes it may seem like even the one in the house is against you. Sometimes it just seems like people do not understand. Now, I want to get our minds wrapped, because this morning I'm talking about, sometimes we've had bad experiences with fathers, and so the very conversation that I am speaking right now is all you can think of is the bad dad. But I need you to understand this. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. Yes. Not if he was good, right. Not if he was present, right. Not if he was smart, not if he was a millionaire. Not if he took care of you like he should have. None of those things are conditions are with that verse. The verse says, honor thy father and thy mother. Okay? It's very, the problem is that we put conditions on everything that God told us just to absolutely do. And because we don't just absolutely do it, then the stuff starts breaking down. Why didn't God say, honor him if he's a good father? Why didn't God say, honor him if he's the best father? Why didn't God say, honor him if he stayed in the home, played ball with you, you know what I'm saying, took you to McDonald's? Why didn't God put all those stipulations on it? First of all, because he knew that we were man, and he knew that we were a sinful man, and he knew that we were not perfect man, and if it took perfection for honor, none of us would be honored. None of us would have been honored. I don't care how good you think you are, you still fall very short of the Heavenly Father, who is the perfect Father, and none of us would have been honored. And so God simply said honor, because you know what? He has crowned us with honor. And what honor does, I know when I came to the altar, God crowned me with honor and righteousness, things I didn't deserve. And what that did for me, at first it said, you love me? In spite of me, you love me. I mean, I'm so sinful. I disappoint you. And what it really did, it made me rise up to the honor that was bestowed upon me. Honor that I didn't deserve. All of a sudden, it made me want to be more honorable. But what happens in our society is we say, you get what you deserve. If you're not honorable, then you don't get honor. And so what happens is we all have our own line of what honor is. And so I deduct, you don't get honor because you didn't take me to the ball game. You don't get honor because you didn't stay in the home. And so all of a sudden, we're a dishonorable society. And so we're not raising anybody up. We're putting everybody down. So we have all these weak areas in society that are so weak. But one thing God said, there are a lot of weakness in society because there's so much dishonor. And we've got to get to a place where we will honor in spite of. Honor because God said honor. Just simply honor because God said honor. Come on, just like everything that God, just simply give because God said give. Just simply love because God said love. Just simply forgive because God said forgive. And because everything that God says, it will raise you up. It will raise you. First of all, it will raise you up. See, sometimes you say, he don't deserve honor, so I dishonor. Every time I dishonor, it doesn't just come against him, it comes against me. And so now there's dishonor to him, but it's dishonor through me. And now we got two dishonorable people instead of just one. And so God is saying, come on, raise up, raise up. Let's raise up society. Let's raise up our culture. Let's raise up as believers. Let's walk in honor. I honor my father. I honor my mother. I honor them by praying for them. You say, what can I do for the man that didn't do nothing for me? I can pray for him. I can lift him up before the throne of grace, and I can pray for him. I can call him. I can say, hey, Dad, thinking about you. Somebody, I ain't calling that joker. Dishonor. Dishonor. Dishonor begets dishonor. And God is saying that we have to raise our culture to a level of honor by being believers that believe in God's word, that what he says do, I'm going to do. I said, what he says do, I'm going to do. I'm getting out of my reasonable logic mind, and I'm going to the mind of Christ that loved me in spite of me, every single day in spite of me, loves me, makes the sun rise on the what? Just on the Christians? On the just and the unjust. And he's my heavenly Father, and so I should do what he does. I'll let my love rise on the just and the unjust. And we will raise our culture to another level if we put back honor in our society. Now, you guys, that's not even on my notes. I just kind of, that's what God is saying right now. Okay? And so I just know that somewhere in here, God wants us to understand that we have to live honorably. He said, honor thy father. And you hear so much talk about men and negative. It's on both sides, where there's jokes about men and there's jokes about women, and we as believers, we fall into it and we put down men and we put down women, and the next thing you know, our mouths is not honorable. We are not raising up what, remember what God said, no matter what the devil has done, God said when he created men and women, it was
good.
God said it was good. God said it was good. God's creative word over us was good. And we have allowed the enemy to give us another creative word, bad, jerk, stupid. All these words that we keep speaking over, speaking out, speaking into the air. But remember what God said. He has not changed it. He has not changed that what he created, it was good. And we need to use the same creative word that God has created to bring to life what God brought to life through the word of God. Today, as, and I'm not going to keep Sam walking too long. Come on, Sam. So as Sam, come on. As Sam is walking, this is for the men. This is something God gave me. As Sam is walking, and I asked you, how heavy was this? How much did this weigh? And some people, you know, if I'd had it in a cup or something that you couldn't see, somebody would be like 6 ounces, 16, 32. But the real thing was not how much this weighed. It's how long he held it. And I want you men to get that this today. It's not how much the problem weighs. It's not how much the problem weighs, Elder Johnny. It's how long you hold it. It's how long you hold it. The financial things that's on your mind, it's not how much it weighs. Men, it's how much you're holding it. Your wife, your children, the concerns that you have for your home. It's not how much it weighs. It's how much you hold it. How long you hold this, okay? The longer Sam could go around this holding his straight out, probably for another hour or two, just straight out. But let's say, Sam, I want you to hold it for 2 days straight out. No stop, no break, just holding it out.
Yes.
Sam, I want you to hold this for a month. Because, you know, some of y'all been holding stuff for months, weeks, years. And no matter how, this is 8 ounces in a year, this is going to feel like tons. And the Holy Spirit wanted me to tell you this morning is that God didn't mean for you to hold it, okay? The weight comes, but God meant for you to cast it, not keep holding it. Because in the Bible, it says in the last day, men's hearts will fail them. And most of the time, their hearts will fail them because of what they're carrying too long. And God is saying, let it go. Release it. Because God's got your back. As soon as it comes in and the enemy brings that heavy burden, that heavy care, that heavy concern, God wants you to let it go. Release it. Give it to the one who can carry it. Give it to the one who can fix it. Give it to the one who can change it. Give it to the one who has the solution. There you go. That's not your ball. That's not, some of y'all are like, what does that mean? I preached a sermon that we're catching too many balls. It's not our balls. Worry is not your ball. Fear is not your ball. Come on. Anxiety is not your ball. We need to drop that ball. Come on. Instead of carrying this stuff, God wants us to let it go and release it. And that's a word for y'all from the Heavenly Father that you need to let it go. This weight is too much. You're carrying too much weight. And that weight, God never meant for you to carry it. He meant for you to cast it. And sometimes you're grumpy and you're upset. See, men get grumpy too. You know, women, we just, you know, we show it a little quicker. But women, men kind of internalize. Theirs is a little more scary because women, we just come right, but men kind of go, and then you never know until kaboom. And you're like, what just happened? Because they've been carrying it. And that carrying it is not good. God said, cast it. Cast it on him, for he cares for you. He sees when nobody sees. He knows exactly what you meant when nobody else understood what you were really trying to do. He understood how much you were putting in when no one could see that you were putting that all in. God said, you know, there's the Leah, the song that they sing about, you know, he is the God that sees. And sometimes we see that story about how him seeing the woman. But God wants you to know he sees the man too. He sees you. He sees you. And he wants to remind you that in your weakness, do y'all hear me, men? In your weakness, you're made strong.
Yes.
I want to say that again. In your weakness, you're made strong. Now, understand this, that a lot of times through our growing up, through society, the stoic, the man in his strength, that's what you want to show. That's what you want everybody to know. I am strong. But understand this, the reality of it is that you are passing that down and passing that down. You're not just passing it down to your sons, you're passing it to your daughters. You're passing it to your wife. Everyone's trying to learn how to be stoic and strong. And I don't tell anybody what's going wrong. I handle it all by myself. And it's weak to show. But remember the song I pray, it's okay to say you're not okay. It's okay to really show your feelings. Because it frees everybody. To be able to show their feelings, it frees everybody that we don't have to walk around and be fake all the time. Now, somebody, this for men, this sometimes is an adverse, even for some women, they don't like to hear, I ain't about to cry, I ain't about to show people, I ain't gonna have people stepping all over me because they know. No. God wants us to be real. And he said, in our weakness, we're made strong. And what happens is we get so good at faking in front of others, we fake in front of him. And so we come before him. Nothing ain't wrong. I'm all right, God. I'm good. I'm good, God. I'm good. And God's the one who knows us all. He knows you're not. And so God is saying, in your weakness, be able to come before the God and say, God, I don't have this. I can't do this. This is too hard. I don't know what to do with her. I don't know what to do with them. I don't know how to fix my financial situation. I don't know. God, I need you. God said, get back to knowing that you are not man alone, but you are man with God. And he's got your back. Something to encourage you this morning. This morning, I'm going to go very quickly to a place that God had me to go. And the theme of this is kingdom uniform, kingdom issued, get used to it. Now, some of you guys may not, if you're not in the military, you might not know what I'm talking about. But I'm explaining that when you get into the military, You know, the clothes that you came in there with, you don't get to wear them anymore, okay? The haircut you had, the hair down to here, the braids, all that's gone. You get a kingdom uniform. Yeah. You get a military, is issued, a military uniform that's issued to you that this is what you wear now, all right, for the military. And you get equipment issue to you, like the gun and the different things. So today I'm talking about in our kingdom, we think that we just stay the same we are, same way that we came in. But God has a kingdom uniform for us and a kingdom issue for us, and get used to it. Now, when I say it, that sounds a little get used to it. But what I'm saying is get proficient at it. Where you understand it, where you can handle it, where you can wear it, where when my husband was in the military, you know, there was just certain things, his uniform had to be a certain way, and even how he folds stuff in the drawer, he has a military drawer. I call my husband the military drawer. When I open his drawers, every underwear, everything is folded. He has that same kind of way that he was in the military, that a way that they did things. Well, there's a way that we have to do things in the kingdom too. And sometimes we don't realize that, and first we hear about it, but we don't get proficient at it. And because we're not, if they don't know how to do their gun and all that stuff in war times, if they don't know how to do it right, they get killed. And a lot of times, because we don't know how to do what the kingdom has called us to do, we are losing, and we don't have victory because we haven't got used to what the kingdom has issued us. So we're going to talk about that, but I want to go into 1 Samuel 17:32 and 40, which is going to kind of take us there and let us know what I'm saying. There's a wonderful story, and we've probably heard this story so many times. If this is your first time hearing the story, it's exciting, okay? If it's your second time hearing the story, it's still exciting, because every time I hear the story about David and Goliath, I just always get excited about this story. And so I'm praying that we get out of this what God wants us to get today. So don't listen to it like, I know David and Goliath. David killed Goliath. Okay. Don't listen to it like that. Okay. Let's hear what God wants us to hear this morning. Okay. David said to Saul. Now, we're coming in on the part where David was the youngest of the brothers, and David goes to give his brothers some lunch. And when he gets there, he sees the whole army of the Israelites. They're all scared and afraid. And he's wondering, what in the world is going on? And so this is my paraphrase to get through that point. Okay, so as he's asking around, they're telling him about this big old giant that comes out every day and says, send me a man, okay? And so he's a giant, though. And they see this big old giant. And if you okay, I love that we could do what Sam does. Read the story, because the story's going to tell you how big this man was. It's almost unbelievable how big this man was. But if you want to know, like Sam says, read that part. Okay, so he's big, and he's formidable, standing there, this big giant. And he says, he's telling them to send them a man so that he can fight with this man. But there's no man on the Israelite side that is bold enough or brave enough to go up against this giant. There's even been a reward offered that if whoever would go up against would get to have this prince's woman and the family and all the inheritance of that, if they would fight this. But I mean most men would be like, hey, I'll take. But that giant was too big for them to even say, I'll do it. So when David gets there and he sees that, they're telling him that. David is like, what? And we're talking about David was not big. David is an adolescent. That's what it says. He's an adolescent. And this adolescent is like, are you kidding me? All of y'all are scared of this giant. And they're all scared of this giant. And so David goes to the king. And here's where we are. We're at this part where David is in front of the king. And David says to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of this Philistine. Your servant will go out and fight with him. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go fight against this Philistine. You're only an adolescent. And he has been a warrior from his youth. And David said to Saul, your servant kept his father's sheep. And when there came a lion or again a bear and took the lamb out the flock, I went out after it and smote it and delivered the lamb out of its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and smote it and killed it. Bad little boy, right? Your servant killed both the lion and the bear. Both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. David said, the Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, and you would just think, you know, Saul would be like, boy, get out of here. But Saul was scared too. And Saul's the king, y'all. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Now, something about that is like, whoa. There was something about, because, you know, like I'm thinking about big one, little one. So Big Juan scared. Now, you know, Big Juan scared, because I can't imagine Big Juan scared. So if Big Juan scared, but little Juan comes and say, Daddy, I'll go do it. I'll go fight. Can you just imagine what Juan would say? Big Juan, boy, you better get in there before you get killed. But Saul says, go. Please go. We need somebody to go. Anybody go? Because I ain't going. Okay? Go. And you talking about you done killed a lion and a bear. Go. And the Lord be with you. He saw something in David's story and in David's experience that made him know that the Lord was with this young man. Saul probably said, I ain't never killed a bear nor a lion. And he's, I don't know, I don't even know wonder why he didn't even say, are you lying? But he believed this little boy. He believed this out, and he says, you go and the Lord be with you. Now, I'm going to stop right there because I need all of the men to know that's in the house of the Lord that for your next mountain, for your next trial, for your next giant, okay? Whatever your next giant is, please remember what God has already done. The kids said their dance was, remind you. God wants you to remind yourself that when that next mountain looms so big, that somewhere in your back history, you have killed a lion and a bear. Somewhere in your back history, God has brought you over that valley, that valley, that valley, that valley. And God needs you to remind yourself, because what happens is all you will see sometimes is the looming mountain, the looming problem, the looming circumstance before you, and you will forget all the other problems that God has already brought you through. And if he did it before, he can do it again. He's the same God back there that he will be right here, okay? And God wanted, and that's what David had a story. David was like a giant. Well, I remember the lion and the bear. I remember how God helped me to do that. That giant meant nothing to David because David had a story in the back. God's got your back. God's got your back. What story do you have in the back that's going to help you in your future? God's got your back. David had a story. And God wants to remind you, men, that you're not sitting in the house of the Lord because you don't have a story. The very fact that you're sitting in this house, the very fact that you've given your life to the Lord is a story big enough to shoot down any demon. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb is the biggest story that you can throw up against the enemy when he comes to bring the giants. And so he says, the Lord be with you. Then Saul, now this is the part I want us to rest on. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head, and I want y'all to get this in your imagination. I want you to imagine this, okay? He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword over his armor. Now, I want y'all to look, okay, Saul, when he says, and the Lord be with you, Saul begins to dress David up. Now, let's remember that David was an adolescent, okay? David was a young boy, okay? Saul was a grown man, okay? So we can imagine how his armor looked on fit on this adolescent. So he puts his armor on him. For somewhere, Saul, even though he said, the Lord be with you, Saul hadn't got it that he thought something about his armor was going to protect. He hadn't got it yet. He hadn't realized who David was giving glory to. But Saul thought that something of his was going to cover David and protect. So he puts this on David, and then it says David girded his sword over his armor. So after he put on this armor that was ill-fitted, probably so big, probably couldn't hardly walk in it because it was so big, then David put his sword over top of that armor, okay? And then he tried to go, but could not, for he was not, what, is it up there? I want y'all to say it. For he was what? He was not used to it. He was not used to it. He tried to go and walk in Saul's armor, but it was ill-fitting. And he tried to go, but he could not go because he was not used to it. And David said, and I want y'all to hear this because I think this is one of the smartest statements you can make in your life. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I am not used to them. I cannot go with these. What are you trying to go with that you're not used to? What are you trying to handle in a way that you're... Now we're going to see this works both ways. There's going to two ways this is going to go this morning, okay? He says, I can't go with this because I'm not used to this. This is not how I fight. This is not how I roll. This is not how me Jesus roll. I can't do this because I'm not used to this. Oh, this is how the army fight. They're proficient. That Israelites, all of them had on their armor. But David said, this is not, This is not how I do it. This is not what I'm used to. And David took them off. Yeah. Now, you guys, if I don't say another word to y'all today, remember this. What are you fighting with that you're not used to? And will you take it off? Okay? Or will you keep trying to fight in that? Okay? Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's lunch bag, a whole kid skin slung from his shoulder in his pouch, and his sling with his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. Today God wants you to say, what are you saying? There's 2 ways that we look at it. Okay, David was a fighter, and he was used to fighting with him and God and whatever God told him, the strength of the Lord. Now, can I tell you, when we come into the kingdom, you guys, when we've been out there, we've been used to fighting with our mouth, our dukes up. We've been used to fighting dirty, undermined. We know trickery, all these things. But when we come into the house of the Lord, he gives us a new way to fight, okay? And when I said some of us are still, we've just put on the Lord's garments, our uniform. We haven't got proficient in it yet. And so sometimes when we get really, really scared, we're still real close to how we used to fight. And so although we've just got into the house of the Lord, we haven't got, you got to get proficient with this thing. You got to know what to wear and how to wear it. And you got to have it on and every day, not on and off, on and off. Some of us put on the Lord's garment, uniform for a second, and then we take it on and off. But God's garment is not on and off. His uniform is to stay on. And that's the only way we're going to get proficient in it, is it stays on. And so if we don't let it stay on, we'll be weak at it. So I want to read in Ephesians so you'll know what your uniform is, okay? All right. It says this in Ephesians 6 and 13 through 20. Therefore, put on God's complete armor. Y'all hearing me this morning? Yeah. That you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with God, and having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness, and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. Lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the word of God. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people, for which I am an ambassador in a coupling chain. Now, when Paul is writing this, Paul's in chains. But yet he's telling you, keep it on. Here's the armor of the Lord. The armor of the Lord, you know, in the military, you can't keep that uniform on. You got to take it. I was, me and God was having a little talk last night, and I said, God, you know, you're going to have to explain this to me because you want me to keep this on. I said, but how can I compare it? He said, to the military, because the military, you can't keep the uniform on. You got to take it off and wash it sometime. All right. I said, but you know what? The difference between the military uniform and the spiritual uniform is that the spiritual uniform is a constant washing while it's on. It's a, the word of God washes us all the time. We don't have to take it off and put it in a wash machine. It's constantly washing us, renewing us, strengthening us. God said, don't take it off. Don't take it off. Don't take it off. Don't take it off. He said, put it on and keep it on. I said, put it on and keep it on. And a lot of times what we're doing, we're putting on the parts that we like, and we're taking off the parts that we don't like. That helmet of salvation, that seems pretty impressive. But sometimes that belt of truth is not adding up in my life, because I don't want to tell the truth right now. I don't want to do the truth right now. So I take off the belt of truth. But God said, put it all on. Keep it all on. The only way you're going to get proficient in it is keeping it on at all times. Practicing it. Walking in it at all times. God is saying, put it on, brothers. Keep it on. Keep on the uniform that God has given us. Walk in it at all times. Don't take the parts you like. See, the parts you like is usually, you know, what we're proficient in as saints. We'll talk about it. We'll sing about it. Because we're proficient in it. But we're kind of quiet about those parts that we ain't got too good down yet, right? But God says, whether we've got it good or not, whether that belt is slipping, put it back up, tighten it. Put it back up, tighten it. Don't take it off the belt of truth. Don't walk around proud of the things that you like, that's showy, that looks good, but those other parts that you're not comfortable with, those are the parts that God wants you to get proficient at. You have a heavenly kingdom uniform. Men, if we don't have it on, the enemy's looking for the place to shoot you, to dart you. He's looking for the open place. He's looking for the uncovered place. He's looking for the place that you think you don't need today because you're so strong place. He's looking for the pride place. He's looking for the hidden place. That place that you think, well, I don't have to have nothing back there. Nobody can see it. No, he's looking for those places to hit you. And God said this morning, make sure I have given you a kingdom. Come on. A kingdom uniform and a kingdom issue. God has given you something that covers you all around. You guys, in the beginning, it's going to feel like you don't know what to do with it. Just keep it on. Amen. Just keep it on. You know, I used to tell people all the time, and I know Juan can attest to this. There's a time when you're out there and you hear the call of God, but the enemy, he just wants you to stay out there. And I used to tell Juan, I don't care. Come in the house. I don't care if you're high. I don't care where you've been. I tell my sons this all the time. I don't care if you've been swinging from a flagpole with five women. I don't care. Get to the word of God. Get to the house of God. I don't care if you got to crawl in nasty. I don't care if sex is still on your clothes. I say, get to the house of God. I say, if you could just get there, if you could just crawl there, if you could just make it to the house of the Lord and keep on making it, keep on making it, keep on making it. Pretty soon, the enemy's going to have to flee because he sees that you are resisting him. You don't have to resist something when nothing's coming at you. You have to resist it when the enemy's all over you. That's when you're resisting. When you come in spite of There's times that I know there's different brothers that I've talked to. They've came in drunk high. I could smell high as a kite. I could smell the weed on them as I could smell enough to get high myself. But I know. I'm just being honest. But I know that they have made it past that thing that's tried to hold them. They've made it to the house of the Lord. And they've made it. And you guys, please make this a safe place. Make this a safe place for the prostitute. Make this a safe place for the whoremonger. Make this a safe place for the drug addict. Make this a safe place for the alcoholic. Make this a safe place. Make this a safe place. So that when they get here, when they make it, when they get here, they find Jesus. They find his love. They find his grace. They find his mercy. They find strength. They find strength. Strength to make it another day. Strength to keep on trying. More strength to fight against that devil that's trying to hold them. God, make this a safe place in the name of Jesus. We want this to be a safe place. We want them to be able to get their armor on. We want to help them. And when they get their armor on, you guys, let's stop pointing out when the armor's slacking or the belts, the crown's a little, as they say, if the crown's a little crooked, sister, help me get my crown back up. If my belt's falling down, help me get my belt back up. Don't be saying your belt of truth is jacked up. Something's wrong with your belt of truth today. They got their belt of truth on. Let's thank God they got their belt of truth on. They're in the house of the Lord where they can hear some more truth that'll strengthen their untruth. Oh God, we've got a kingdom uniform with kingdom issue. And you guys, let's learn how to use it right. Let's learn how to use it correctly. Let's learn how to use it in mercy and use it in grace. Let's learn how to wear it so we can win. Let's know how to wear it so we can win. I just thank God this morning that the kingdom, and I want to end on this, just before I was praying to end writing, God said, tell my church that the kingdom uniform is not a Halloween costume. It's not something. See, when David got out there to fight, David didn't have on nothing but the glory of the Lord. And even though Satan tried to devalue him and say, who are you, you little ruddy boy, coming to me with a stone and a sling? He tried to intimidate him and pull him down. But see, David didn't go out there to show off David. David didn't go out there to be impressive in David. David went in the power of the Most High God. And he knew that didn't have nothing to do with his size, his color, his stature. He said it didn't have nothing to do with anything in the flesh. It had everything to do with the Most High God that dwelt within him. And it didn't even matter if he was a baby. If God had to send a baby out there going goo goo gaga in the name of the Lord, that Goliath would have had to go down in the, because he said, I come in the name of the Lord. And God said, don't use your uniform as a Halloween costume. He said, sometimes we just wear it for certain occasions, certain events. Certain events that I want to look impressively godly. I want to look having a form of godliness, but denying the power. And God said he doesn't want us to wear it like that. We wear it because we believe in the godliness that is for real. The godliness, it's not to impress. It's to deliver. It's to empower. It's to break down strongholds. It's to tear up things that the enemy is trying to evoke in our lives. That's what the uniform's for. Sometimes we get so used to wearing it to impress. And some of us, we want to look like we have on the armor of God. But the enemy's killing us on every hand. He is darting us and killing us, and we're falling, and in our homes and in the darkness, we know we're falling down, and we know that he has gotten us. But when we come out, I am a child of the Most High God. But God said, we don't have to fake it. Everywhere that we need more, God will give us more. Okay, just cry out for more. You don't have to fake it. Just cry out for more. Don't worry about the brother next to you or the sister next to you, because they're probably waiting for you to cry out so they can cry out. God used to tell me that a long time ago. You're sitting here scared to cry out, and somebody's just waiting for somebody to cry out. They're so bound that they just want to hear a sound of a cry, so that they could cry too, so that they could cry out to the Father. The enemy has taken a lot of people's voices. But God said, man of God, don't let him take yours. I need thee. Lord, I need thee. Every hour. Yes, Lord, I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I don't sit in my seat. I don't shut my mouth. But I come. I come. I come. I come to thee. I come to thee, God. I know I'm your man. I know you've created me as the head and not the tail. But God, without you, I'm nothing. Without you, I'll surely fail. God, and there are some days I'm weak, and some days I'm worn. Some days I'm just plain weary. And God, I come. I don't have to perpetrate in front of my family, my children, nobody. I want to show them what to do when they're tired, when they're weary, when they're worn. I want my son to know, go to God. I want my wife to know, go to God. I want my friends to know, go to God. Lord, I come. Lord, I come. Because you are the joy. You are the strength. Yes. You are the hope, yes, of my life. Yes. As we stand right now in the name of Jesus. I want every man to come up. And I want all the women to stand behind the men as the men come forward. Lord, we need thee. God, thank you for every precious men standing here today. Father, thank you for their try. Thank you for their try, God. Thank you for their try. Thank you for the things that they accomplished, God, and yet praying for the things yet, God, that they so badly want to accomplish. But God, we ask right now that there not be a burden on them that comes from the enemy, God. We ask that you would take that away, God. Father, for you said that they can do all things, but the all things are the things that you've called them to do. Not the things that the enemy would have them rushing around and getting busy and frustrated, and the things you've called them to do. Because God, whatever you've called them to do, you're with them to do it. And so God, we pray over every man that is standing here right now, God, that they would rest in you, God. Rest in your promises. Rest in your commands over their lives, God. God, that you're not calling them to do something so heavy that they can't carry it, God. But God, you are with them to help them carry. Oh, Father, right now, God, can they see themselves as you see them? Oh, Father, we ask today that they would look in your eyes and see that you love them, that you absolutely love them, and that before they could say a word or do anything, you love them. God, even in their dirtiest, nastiest state, you love them. So God, help them to receive that love. Not try to earn anything. It's not to be earned. It's just given. It's just given. It's just theirs, God. And God, although we as women Sometimes we want them to earn our love, or if you get me that, or if you do that. God, you're not like that. You're not like that. And so, God, we just pray that they know of that kind of love, that they stand firm-footed in that kind of love, that absolute love that when anyone says, I don't love you anymore, they're okay, because they know you love them. They know you absolutely love them, and you matter more than anything. God, there are some that are standing on the altar right now, Father. I'm praying over and lifting up their bodies, their bodies that have been attacked with worry, concerns, stress, where it has touched different organs in their body. God, I pray this very day that you would lift that stress, lift that anxiety, oh God, and cover it, God, with deep peace in you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And they would let it go. They would let it go. They would let it go. God, if you can't do it, it can't be done. Oh Lord, they would just lean back on you, Father, and say, Father, if you don't help me, it can't get done. And so, God, they just wait for your help. Lord, we're waiting on you. Lord, they're not trying to go at it alone in their own strength, not by their might, not by their power, but by your spirit, saith the Lord. Oh Lord, I pray for those that haven't had a joyful encounter with you in a long time. They've been so inundated with worries and cares. They can't remember the last time that they just was abandoned in worship to just have a freedom of singing and dancing and running and clapping. Their hearts just full of joy, God. God, I pray that over every man, that he would have an encounter. Encounter with you. Fill their cups, God. Fill their cups. Fill their cups where it's been filled with work and worry and busyness. God, I ask that you would fill it with you. Yes. Fill it with your joy. You said the joy of the Lord is your strength. Yes. The joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, the joy of the Lord is the strength. God, fill them with the joy of the Lord. And Father, yes, we as your women, God, yes, help us to facilitate, yes, that, Lord, in the name of, hallelujah, Jesus. Facilitate, yes, moments, yes, that they can have, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Where they can be filled,
yes, Lord. Thank you,
without worry and stress.
Hallelujah.
God, that they can first thing, God, yes, first thing, filled, God. Lord. God, we want them to, yes, first get you, God.
Yes.
And your joy. We know once they got your joy, yes, they have the strength to do whatever, thank, they need to do with us in the family. Yes. So God, we pray for the joy, yes, of the Lord, yes, over, yes, their lives. And God, when we say happy Father's Day, yes, today, we don't just mean happy because you got this, yes, earthly thing. We want to say joyful Father's, yes, Day.
Thank you, Lord.
Joyful Father's Day because you got King Jesus.
Yes.
And that is enough.
Yes.
And that is enough. And that is enough. And that is enough. Lord, let them put on their kingdom-issued uniforms. And God, let them get used to it. Let them get proficient in it. Let them keep it on. And let them win because they have it on in every area of their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You guys, hug your women. If your man's up here, please hug him. Let's hug him in Jesus' name. If your man ain't up here, that's it. Hug somebody. The Bible said, hug somebody. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let me hug you.
Bless them.
Thank you, Jesus. Kingdom man.
The word.
Kingdom man. Kingdom man. Kingdom man. Oh, yes, he is. You, my man. Kingdom man. Kingdom man.
the road.